Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning in the 11th verse, very known scriptures. Amen. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Everybody say two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And then the Bible would say, and he divided unto them his living. So the younger said, I want you to give me what's mine. And so the father just split it up between, he gave them both their inheritance. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The 17th verse begins with this great moment in this man's life. And when he came to himself, everybody say, when he came to himself. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Amen. The 17th verse, one more time. Amen. And when he came to himself. Amen. I want to preach a little while from this title, When You Come to Your Senses. Amen. Set your Bibles down and lift your hands to the Lord all across the house. Come on, let's ask God to help us today. Come on, in the name of Jesus, we need you, God. We need your help. Hallelujah. You, Lord, come on, can you lift your voice a little louder to the Lord? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we need you in this hour. We need you in this day we're living in, God. Strengthen your people, help your people. Hallelujah, can you clap your hands to the Lord together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I want to preach about when you come to your, everybody say your senses. Amen. I want to preach that one of the greatest days of your life is going to be the day that you come to your senses. Amen. The day that you wake up and you realize that I need God. Hallelujah. A day that when it clicks in your mind that there is a better life than living the life of sin. Amen. When the confusion begins to clear out, all of a sudden you can think clearly and realize I need to get down to that church. Amen, where God can help me one more time. Hey, I'm talking about a good day in your life. It's a good day in your life when you realize that you don't have to hold grudges anymore against people. Amen, it's a good day in your life when you realize that you don't have to walk around with unforgiveness in your heart. When you realize there's a better life than walking around discouraged and depressed and beat down and on the bottom. Hey, it's a good day when your mind clears up and you say, I gotta get back to where I'm supposed to be. Come on, let's praise God in this house. Hallelujah. It's a good day when you realize there's a better life than the life of immorality. It's a good day when you realize there's a better life than the life of perversion. Filling your mind with the trash on the internet. It's a good day when you realize it's better to live a clean life than a nasty life. Come on, help me right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's a good day when you realize you don't have to have dysfunctional families and relationships, but there's a better way to live life. You can live a life with structure. You can live a life with consistency. You can live a life in the blessings of God. Amen. But something's got to click in your mind first that says, I got to get out of what I'm in if I'm going to be what God wants me to be. Come on, let's love him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I want to tell you, if you've got to get to rock bottom before that happens, if you have to get to rock bottom before your mind can clear up, thank God for rock bottom. If you've got to end up in a hog pen before your mind will clear up, thank God for the hog pen. If you got to end up in a fiery trial before you wake up and realize I need God, thank God for the fiery trial. You ought to thank God for whatever it is that gets your mind to where you can say, yes, Lord, I need you today. Come on, let's love him together. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. The Bible said it is the goodness of God that leadeth men unto repentance. Amen. It was a hog pen that led the prodigal son to repentance. Amen. My life, there was a lot of bad things that happened that got my attention. To me, they were terrible. To me, I didn't like them. To me, I didn't want to live through them. Amen. But it's what cleared my mind up. It's what helped me figure out I can't do this by myself. I need a God to help me. You know what I say? Thank God. Thank God that I went broke. Thank God that I got humiliated. Thank God I got embarrassed. Thank God he drug me through the mud a little while. Thank God he... How could you thank God for the trial? Because it was in the trial, amen, that I came to my senses. It was in the bottom that I came to my senses. Thank God for the trip I took in the belly of the whale to the bottom of the sea. It's what it took to wake me up, to look toward Jerusalem and say, Lord, if you'll bring me up out of this. Thank God for the trial. Ain't too much. Praise God. Man, I don't get a lot of response when you say thank God for the trials. Thank God for what knocked me down. Thank God for that great light that blinded me a little while. Let me realize I wasn't near as good of a horse rider as I thought I was. Thank God for everything that ripped the pride out of my life. Thank God for everything that humbled my spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. In everything, give thanks. I'm thankful for the hog pens. So you got to be able to look a little bit further than the end of your nose to thank God for what he put you through. You got to have a little further vision than the here and the now to be able to say, thank God you didn't let me have everything I wanted. Thank God you didn't answer every prayer that I prayed, because I would have been in a total mess if it would have worked out like I wanted it to work out. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the day that I came to my senses. Amen. Praise God. Can I preach a little while? Anybody got an ear to hear what thus saith the word of God today? Hallelujah. Amen. The day that the prodigal got his inheritance was not the best day of his life. Amen. And a lot of people are praying, God, I need some more money. I'm telling you, the day that he got more money was the beginning of the end for the prodigal son. Be careful what you pray for. Pray like this. God, let your will be done in my life today. Give us this day our daily bread. God, give me what I can handle. Give me what I can deal with. Give me what I can have and still be a Christian. Hey, I know this ain't popular preaching, but this is good preaching. Can I just talk to you a little while about real life? Let me tell you why you don't need a handout. Because if you don't learn how to work for something, it'll ruin you. This is another reason I don't believe in the lottery. Somebody told me yesterday, if I win the lottery, I'm going to pay off that church. I said, you don't need to play the lottery. God don't need the lottery. God needs working people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Of course, he's a working man. He was just teasing with me. Lord willing, hopefully. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. There's something about earning something that it don't mess up your mind. When you know you mowed the yard and you got the check and you bought the shoes, you'll take care of the shoes then. When you built the house and sold the house and took the money and bought you a new tractor, you ain't gonna let nobody tear up your tractor. But when somebody just gives you an inheritance and you never worked for it and you never earned it and you just got it because of who you are, that's called welfare. Well, hallelujah. There come a day they can't endure sound doctrine. This is sound doctrine. This is why everybody needs something to do. Everybody needs a job. Hallelujah. I realize as people on disability and can't physically do stuff, I understand all that. And I'll just tell you right out, this is the only country probably on the planet where they send people money that can't work. So just if you get a check, say thank the Lord for it. But in your mind, you need to say, I need purpose in my life. I'm going to get up out of the bed like everybody else, and I'm going to find purpose in my life. Hey, I know this is... Come on, church. This is good for your mind. This is good for your soul. This is good for your being. God don't hand out things that people don't work for. If you think God's just going, God, please give me $1 million. Okay, well, there you go, son. No, but he may give you $1 million idea or $1 million contract or $1 million job. God can open $1 million door. But you got to have an understanding. Hey, God will go before you. God will send. Boy, y'all are looking at me like I've been working all week. I mean, I've been bivocational, three full-time jobs for 2 years, I think. I'm ready to get rid of a few of them. I'm ready to pastor again one of these days. I don't know why I'm hung up on this, but I'm hung up, so I'm just going to preach a little while. Amen. Don't ask God to just drop you things. You ought to say, God, give me an opportunity. Yeah. Hallelujah. There's some people that could have took that. I read it in the scripture. There's some people that could have took the inheritance, and the older brother, he just went back to work the next day, doing whatever he does. But that younger one, a couple days later, he's looking at that pile of money thinking, why am I going to go to work? I think I'll just leave. Hey, it's a shame if you got $2 you can't. You ain't got the drive to get up and do something. You ought to have a drive to want to be the best that you can be. I'm not preaching. Come on, I want to get something in you. Hallelujah. I want you to, the attitude, I want to get by with as little as possible, is a doctrine of damnation, is what it is. Because in your natural life, if you just try to get by with as little as possible, it'll transfer over into the spiritual. And you'll try to get by with as little as possible. But my Bible said the righteous are going to scarcely be saved. That means the people doing everything they know to do with all their heart are going to barely make it to heaven. I'm trying to preach to the church a little while. Hey, man, of course, there's parts of the big brother that we're not going to talk about today. Amen. But be the big brother about if you get blessed. Don't let it change your head. Get up and go back to work like you always have. Did you know that God hates laziness? I said God hates laziness. I'm not saying he hates vacation. He likes you to get a break, because every now and then he'd go up to the mountain. What would he do? He'd rest a while and pray a while. Then he'd come back down. He'd go back to work. Hey, man. It's quiet in here. Hallelujah. Hey, man, that little brother. Hey, man, he hadn't worked long enough on the farm to figure it all out. He got a pile of money, and he thought, man, yeah, I don't want to go back there and cut no more hay. My Lord, I'm rich. I got a bag full of money. What you got to understand is a bag full of money disappears. Because you're going to eat it. And you're going to pay it in your rent. And you're going to pay it in your gas. And, hey, man, if you get a little bit ahead, you ought to just say thank God. And you ought to run a little harder. Try a little harder. Put a little back.
for a rainy day. I know I'm all up in your business, but the Bible gets all up in your business. Amen. I'm trying to make great men and women of God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Anyway, that was free. I'm fixing to preach what I come to preach. So some people think if I could just get a check somehow, man. If I could get 20,000 or 10,000 or 2,000, man, it's all going to be good then. Let me tell you, it probably ain't going to be good. Amen. If you ain't got some work ethic to go with it, if you ain't got some ability to be a good steward, it won't be long. It'll all be gone. You can take a poor-minded person and give them the lottery, and it ain't very long. They're broke, and they're worse off than they were before they won it. Why? Because the man ain't right. His mind ain't right. His thoughts ain't right. His motives ain't right. Hey, man. See, I didn't come to preach about money, but I'm preaching about money. I want to tell you, money, all it does is it just exemplifies who you really are. Power exemplifies who you really are. If you're an evil person, a little blessing will make you more evil. If you're an evil person, a little power will make you more evil. But if you're a righteous person, a little bit of money will make you a more righteous person. It'll make you a more thankful person. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't come to preach about that, but let me just preach a while. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This money, these blessings that the younger brother got without working for him, it didn't help him. His payday wasn't the best day of his life. I want to tell you what the best day of his life was. It's the day he was in the hog pen. It wasn't the day he got a big old fat check. Amen. Come on, I'm going against the flesh today. Amen. The day he got rich wasn't the best day of his life. The best day of his life is when he was on his hands and knees in a hog pen eating the scraps. And he came to himself. He came to his senses. I don't know how it's going to go, but it's about to go. Hallelujah. Amen. The day that he came to his senses and realized that the following of the flesh is not the right path. That was the best day of his life. When he realized, amen, you know what? In my Father's house, there's bread enough to spare. And I'm sitting here and I ain't got nothing to eat. That was the best day of his life when he realized where his blessing really was. Hallelujah. Can I preach a while? Hallelujah. His best day was when he figured out, I can't do this on my own. His best day was when he figured out, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good thing. Three amens. See, there's too many people they put all their hope in themselves. I'm going to figure this out. I'm about to be blessed. I'm about to take the world by the storm. They're going to figure out who I am. Yeah, they're going to figure out who you are. Hey, man, they're going to send you to the hog pen. They ain't going to help you. The Bible said no man helped him. If you think your friends are out there, well, I just feel like I don't really fit in the church. It's because you're full of pride. Because you ain't praying. Because you're full of bitterness. Because you need so much affirmation. Well, I remember at the old church, I used to go eat with the preacher every day. Well, it changes when you get a few hundred people. It's only like 365 days in a year. Well, amen, it's not a math formula. Amen, it's just reality. Amen, you can't live for God based upon your relationship with the preacher. You got to get a relationship with God. Amen. You got to get it in your spirit. Well, I looked at my phone. He hadn't texted me in 4.5 months. Have you texted him? Have you called him? Have you come talk to him? Have you told him something? Hey, I'm telling you, because it ain't going to be 200 when we're done. It might be 20,000 if the revival comes that we're looking for. Amen. It may be. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. But he say he came to his senses. Amen. He came to himself. So this story is describing somebody that before he came to his senses, before the hog pen, he was confused. Hallelujah. That means all the decisions that he made before were made in confusion. Hallelujah. If you come to your senses, that means everything clears up. So what that means was in the past, it was all cloudy. It wasn't making sense. He was making decisions in a state of confusion. Let me tell you, if you're confused, don't make a decision. If you're all mixed up, my Lord. I said, well, praise God. Sir Eccles, it's usually better than this. No, it's really not. It's usually just like this. I don't want to lie on the platform. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you're mixed up and you know you're mixed up, don't make decisions. Don't pick up the phone and spread your confusion to other people. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, the enemy doesn't have to get you to do some great immoral thing to get you messed up. All he's got to do is get you a little bit confused and you'll mess up your own life. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has been dealing with me. Amen. Subtlety and humility almost look alike. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. It almost looks like humility. It almost sounds like humility. And if you ain't prayed up, you're going to believe. Does the Word of God really say, thou shalt not eat of the fruit? That's subtlety. But he was talking like this. Did the Word of God? It almost sounds like an humble person saying, does the Word of God really say that? Hallelujah. Well, I'm telling you, you better get some discernment in your spirit where you can tell the difference between somebody humble and somebody subtly trying to confuse you. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. A long time ago, amen, this guy come to me and said, yeah, I want to tell you this person, he was talking about you. And understand, I die daily, so nothing bothers me. But I do put stuff in the bank and write it down just to teach you so you'll know the difference. He said he talked bad about you, but it was like in a really nice way. Hallelujah. I said, I read about a guy like that in Genesis too. He talked about the Word of God in a really nice way. Did the Word of God really say you can't eat that? Let me tell you what's really happening. He don't want you to eat that fruit because you're going to be so smart. Oh, your eyes are about to be open. Trying to. It's getting quiet in this house. He was subtle, but he was appearing to somebody. God kept fill us with so much Holy Ghost that we can discern the nature, the spirit of a man. Amen. There's men that are put in your life to help you. There are women that are put in your life to help you. And just like people are placed by God to help you. Amen. The devil puts people in your life to confuse you and to destroy you and to get you in a place where you'll make bad decisions. Amen. You'll end up in the hog pen and you'll wonder how on earth this happened. Can I preach a little while? God is not the author of confusion. Confusion is not a condition that happens in people's life when they're praying every day. Confusion happens when you step off into rebellion and you begin to turn your back on God. God allows confusion to happen. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. God allows it to happen when people ain't living the life like. Confusion in our Bible is almost always associated with sin. Hallelujah. You can read in the law, and it would talk about basic morality that I don't even want to talk about in a mixed congregation, but it'll say a man blah 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 blah, and you know where it's talking about. It would say it's confusion. People in sin are confused, and I'm not. I'm not talking about a confusion where you don't know what decision to make and you're praying every day, God, show me. I'm not talking about that confusion. I'm talking about when you're letting, amen, yourself be controlled, amen, by the lust of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the pride of life. Amen. I want to tell you, the pride of life probably takes out more people than the lust of the flesh ever thought about. There's a lot of moral people who are so full of pride. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But when you make decisions based upon these lusts of the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, it leads to a life of confusion. The younger brother had a pocket full of money. And that pocket full of money put some pride in his spirit. And that pride led to an immoral, rebellious, riotous life. It led to a life that said, I want to get as far away as I can from the structure of the Father's house. Let me tell you, confusion hates structure. And structure hates confusion. Amen. That's why God ordained the family. And there's an order. Christ is the head of the man. Man is the head of the woman. He said, children, obey your parents, for this is right. He put structure up. Where there's structure, there's no confusion. But where there's confusion, there's no structure. Amen. I feel like shouting right now. Amen. I thank God for his word. People don't like structure, but structure is how you're going to make it to heaven. The Bible said, obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul. Well, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Yeah. And when you're called to your seat before the judgment, tell me how it worked for you. You don't have to tell me because I'll be standing there. I guess because the Bible said I would give an account. Pray that I could do it with joy and not grief. Well, I like to come late and leave early. Well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Hey, man, I got my own Bible. I know what to do. I got my own Bible too. And he said, I'm going to give you pastors. This is him talking. I'm going to give you pastors after my own heart, is what he said. And they're going to lead you. Some people get mixed up and they think he's going to make you. I'm not going to make anybody do anything. I got one job, to lead you to where the green grass is. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to help you. But nobody will ever be able to say, well, he made me. Not in this church. Amen. Pastor, the word is synonymous with shepherd. A shepherd would whistle every now and then. Sheep would come over here. Why are you calling them over here? Because this is some good grass right here. He whistled again. Hey, come on. Why are you whistling out? Because there's some water over here. It's time for you to get a drink. He never grabs somebody. Praise God. I'm not saying the thought don't go through his mind every now and then. Amen. But he don't do that. Amen. Did I ever tell you about my DNA? Praise God. It's confusion. Praise God. Thank God for structure. If I could describe our world today in one word, it would be this: confusion. I started to say it like Joe Biden. I've got one word for you. Our world is full of confusion. Amen. But I want to describe it like somebody in the right mind. I got one word for you to describe our world: confusion. I was praying yesterday to the Lord, again to deal with me. Our world's confused. Just like the prodigal before he came to himself, you know what he was? He was confused.
Why did he choose to leave the Father's house? He was confused. Why did he decide to waste all of his money in a riotous living? He was confused. I'm telling you, I was praying back before God spoke to me. Our world is confused. Praise God. Can I preach a little while? Let me tell you how confused they are. They don't even know what a woman is. Three-digit IQs and master's degrees. Doctorates in biology, and they can't tell you what a woman is. Hallelujah. They can't tell you what a man is. Getting quiet. You haven't drank the Kool-Aid, have you? Is the Bible still right? They're confused. That's why they keep making bad decisions. They don't know what a woman is. They don't know what a man is. They don't know what a baby is. That's why they keep killing them. They don't know what a covenant is. They don't know what a marriage is. I'm talking about smart people. They don't know what a family is. Hallelujah. They don't know what fun is. They don't know what love is. They got their own definition, but it ain't Bible love. Hey, they don't know what integrity is. It's odd to them for somebody to be honest. Hey, you gave me $5 too much when you gave me my change back. What was that? It was integrity. What's that? If you don't know by now, they don't know what right is. They don't know what wrong is. The Bible said there would be a day when wrong would be called right. And right would be called wrong. When you live right, they think you're wrong. And them living wrong think they're right. We're there. They're confused. They need Jesus. They need help. Hallelujah. They don't know what contentment is. They're not content unless they're high on something or out of their mind. They sure don't know what holiness is. They say, well, that's a holiness church. Well, what is that? They don't know. They're Amish. That's what they think it is. They don't realize the root of holiness begins in your heart. When the Bible said, be ye holy, for I am holy. That means you got to act right. It means you can't be a thief. That means you can't have false balance. That means you got to treat people right. You got to love people. You got to abstain from. That's what it is. Amen. Our world is confused. But our world is exactly where the prodigal was the day he ended up in the hog pen. Hallelujah. Amen. Confused people, listen to me, make dumb choices. You think, my Lord, why? Why would they do whatever they do? I'll tell you why. They're confused. Why would a man try to look like a woman? It's confusion.
When does a woman try to look like a man? It's confusion. Amen. But you know what God dealt with me about yesterday? If God could reach down in that hog pen to where that prodigal was and think, I'm going to take this confused mind and I'm going to give him an opportunity. You're talking about the mercy of God. See, you think I'm talking about somebody a long ways off. I'm talking about where you were before God got a hold of you. The road you were going down before God got a hold of you, you were in confusion. I tell you what mercy is when God says, I'm going to give you a space, a window of opportunity. I'm about to clear your mind up where you can think for a minute, and I'm going to give you a chance to look back at where you came from. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Have you ever lived? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you can't even hardly. When you don't know what to do. Amen. So they just kept doing wrong. He said, I'm going to come down to where you're at. And I'm going to clear up your mind for a minute. And I'm going to give you a chance to understand what this word says. Jesus said, except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You know what our world needs to happen? Their mind needs to clear up for a second. Where they can see the word and realize it's going to take more than reading a little note that Jimmy Swaggart wrote or something. I don't know. Or whoever wrote. Or the Pope wrote or whatever. I don't know. I don't know who wrote them. I didn't write one. They realize I got to be born again. Do you know for that to happen, for somebody to be indoctrinated their whole life, amen, for something to change, and them to realize I got to be born again, it's got to be God helping. It's mercy is what it is. Nothing more but the mercy of God. It says, I'm going to clear their mind for a moment and let them realize they got to have me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I've got the faith today that God still knows how to help people come to their senses. I want to tell you, people's conditions can mess with our faith. When you look at how bad they are off and the steps that they've taken, the dumb things that they did in their life, it could be our own families, and it can mess with your mind thinking, I don't know how they could ever get back. Let me tell you something. God works in hog pens. Far away from what you can see. God knows where every hog pen in the world's at. He knows wherever, like I said, he knows wherever bar stool in the world's at. He knows wherever honky tonk. He knows wherever a homeless camp is. And I've got the faith. I've got the faith today. The God that brought the prodigal to his senses. Is that what the Bible said? He said he came to himself. Do you think it happened? He did it himself? You can't do that. It's the mercy of God there. I'm praying for a Holy Ghost harvest. We can't hate people because they're confused.
We can't get a self-righteous spirit. Think, well, we're the spiritual ones. Let me tell you what we are. We're the ones that were confused, but we ain't no more. We're the ones that used to believe the lie, but we don't believe it anymore. So how should one formerly confused person treat a presently confused person? What's wrong with you? No, this is how we ought to do it. Hey, man, there's a God that's got a plan for your life. There's somebody that shed their blood for you. He wants to clean you up. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. But you got to believe it first. Do you believe God can bring people to their senses? So do you think it would be better instead of sending people bad messages and condemning people, provoking people, telling them how bad they are, to speak faith to people? Hey, man, I want you to come to church with me. See, you ain't the one going to fix them anyway. Only God pulls people out of the hog pen. Could I say a little phrase? Such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been sanctified, you've been purified. Hallelujah. I still believe it. Hallelujah. I want to read something to you. Can you? You got time to put up Daniel chapter 4? I want to build your faith that God, amen, can take people that are all messed up. Amen, and turn them all around. I want to tell you, even the like really, really, really good sinners are still confused. Amen. And the really, really bad ones, they're still confused. Hallelujah. The king spake, this is Nebuchadnezzar, and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. The pride of life will take you down. So I've seen people that would live a moral life, but were full of pride. Help me, Jesus. Maybe I don't need to go down that trail. Let me just keep reading. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. One moment, he goes from being in his own right mind full of pride to being in total confusion. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws.
And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding. Now, how many people, if you drove home and you seen a man crawling on his hands and knees eating grass, would think that there was any hope for him? Don't invite him to church. He may eat the carpet. Praise God. You don't know how he started eating grass in the first place. Hey man, you don't know what it was that made God mad to say, you know what? I'm fixing to break you down, boy. And you don't know when God's going to say, I'm going to restore your mind long enough where you can make a decision whether you're going to serve me or not. Come on, lift up your hands to the Lord together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man that was eating grass for 7 years said, my understanding returned unto me. I came to my senses, is what he said. And I began to bless the Most High. And I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. All of a sudden, it ain't about you no more. That's how you know people ain't confused anymore, when it ain't about them anymore. What I want, what I need, what my feelings are. They're not using me. I don't have a ministry. But when you say, oh Lord, your kingdom. That's when you know you're not confused anymore. He said, his kingdom. The last words he said before he started eating grass was, look what I've done. And his first words after he starts eating steaks again was, Lord, look what you've done. Hey, I can listen to somebody talk and tell you whether they're confused or not. Y'all getting scared now? He said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth, it's all about him. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. It ain't about my army no more. And among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He said, at the same time, my reason. I feel like there's, you know, people that are so deep in sin that you're wondering, God, could they ever change? I'm telling you, God, this is how you need to be praying, God. Just bring them to their senses long enough to get them to an altar. God, get them out of that bed of perversion 5 minutes to where they can see they need to repent. He said, I'm talking about the guy that was totally out of his mind. He said, my reason returned unto me. He said, when he realized it was God, God began to bless him then. The glory of my kingdom, my honor, my brightness returned unto me. See, God wants to bless you. God wants to give you, but he wants you to know it's not you. When he said, when I started praising God, when my reason came, my understanding came back, and I started praising God, he started filling up my pockets. This, I don't know, this may be, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, and I was established in my kingdom. God wants to give you stuff. An excellent majesty was added unto me. It was added unto you, Nebuchadnezzar, when you got your mind right.
He said, but now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. It's hard to get puffed up even if you got a big pocket full of money if you ate grass for 7 years. Somebody, I wish I had all day to preach, and I know I don't. I'm trying to wrap up. And I want to tell you something. If you feel like you're just eating grass, just eat the grass. If you feel like, God, I feel like the least of the least, just go ahead and love it. Just, I found how to contend in whatever state I am. I don't know. I'm hoping you can handle meat and see. Hopefully you ain't got to be bottle fed every service. I'm not trying to teach you something when your mind gets right. And I believe mercy comes to people in the form of a clear mind for a moment. You ever gave up on somebody and all of a sudden they pop up? I think, what are they? Tell you, if Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah, I believe Hot Springs could repent at the Word of God. Stand together with me. I'm going to cut it out here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let me give you a little piece of advice and then I'm going to quit. God did not call the church to argue with people. God called us to be a light to a lost and dying world. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for that person who is in that moment of their life where all of a sudden their mind is cleared up. I see it all the time. You know what it's called? Mercy. I'm looking for a harvest. Lift your hands to the Lord together with me. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, there was a moment. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you there was a moment God let you see clearly. Gave you a space and a window of opportunity to get right. You know what I'm praying? God, let the eyes of this city. What about your children? Are you discouraged about your babies that ain't in church? You think because of the lifestyle that they've assumed, there's no reeling them back in. I want to tell you, the father sat there when the boy went a long ways off. I believe the prayer kept going. Hallelujah. Pray. Pray the prayer with me, church, right now. God, bring them to their senses. Karabaha. Our neighbors, our loved ones, our family. God, maybe somebody in this room, you need to be brought to your senses. You don't understand why. You don't understand it takes all this, or you battled it in your mind. I'm praying God let you see clearly for a moment.
Come on, let's turn him into a prayer room for a few moments. Come on, a few moments before we dismiss, let's pray together. Hallelujah. God, don't let me get confused again. Let me be clear. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let God cleanse you. Let him purify
you.
Come on, let him help you. Let him fill you with his spirit. Come on, young person. Come on, young couples. Oh, come on.
Come on, reach my sinners.